Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the moment that you have us in right now. God, you have us in this place for a reason. And God, I don't believe any of us are here by accident. So Father, I just pray that you use me as your instrument, as your vessel, God, to pour through. God, that we will open our ears, open our hearts, God, and hear you and what you have to say. God, I just want to thank you again this morning, Father, for being the creator of it all. God, being the sustainer, the provider, God, all that you are and everything that you do. God, so many times we tend to just look at the little snapshots of life instead of embracing all of who you are and all of what you're doing in our lives. And so, Father, today I pray that what we hear from you, God, we will take. God, you will make it understandable. And God, we'll take it and we'll use it and we'll apply it and we'll believe it and trust it. And Father, I just want to say thank you for allowing us once again to all gather in your presence to worship you and to hear from you. So Father, feed us your word this morning. May we ingest it, take it in, and let it do what food's supposed to do. Let it grow us and mold us and shape us. So Father, thank you so much for these next few moments. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, so good to see you today. A little bit different message. Well, I know I can say a little bit different message, but I keep harping, it seems like, on this one thing. And, I wonder, in preparing several different sermons, it's like I work on three or four during the week. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. I don't know. Maybe it's what keeps me so confused. I don't know. But anyway, in our church, in our body here lately, and it's been not just one or three or four, it's been a lot of people, has had or has gotten some uncertainty in their lives. And so I got to thinking, as just praying for the church, praying for the body, and praying, God, what would you have me say this morning? How do you address uncertainty? Who's had uncertainty in their lives? Okay, so for those of y'all that didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. And we tend to kind of, let me ask these questions first. This is fun. Who frets over uncertainty? Who like just tears you to pieces, okay? Does it kind of like just control your life? Like, you had this way you were going, but when uncertainty comes into your life, it just dominates your thinking. Okay, we're getting fewer. Okay. So, anyway, we messed up, right? So how do you deal with all that? And so I'm going to tell you a story out of the Bible today of someone who was shaken, because uncertainty tends to shake us, right? You don't know what's going to happen. And here's the funny thing I got to thinking about. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds, right? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Boom! See? You wasn't expecting that, right? You wasn't expecting that, and you didn't know that was coming, did you? You didn't know. And isn't that kind of how life does us? Who jumped? I got it. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right, so we'll do that again sometime. Anyway, but you don't know what's coming next, and you've had those moments, right? You've been going through life and doing life, and all of you had that boo moment. You know, it shows up. And so how do we address that? What does it look like? So anyway, today, I printed out, this is actually an article. I'm going to read a few things from it and then share with you what God laid on my heart. But the guy gave an illustration of his kid not wanting to jump in the water. Who was a scaredy cat and didn't want to swim when y'all were little? Really? Did you get thrown in? Okay. So here's the way my uncles dealt with scaredy cat non-swimmers. I was picked up. I wasn't thrown into the shallow end of the pond. We didn't have pools back then. If you had a puddle, toss me off the deep end of the dock and watch me bob, but that was a very uncertain moment. I don't know if they would have come in to get me or not, but anyway, I didn't drown. So he's telling about his kid, says stand on the side of the pool, and he's trying to talk him into just jumping, and it's like 5 or 6 foot deep, trying to talk him into jumping. His little kid's just wandering back and forth, and his little kid keeps naming or talking about things that he's scared of. The water's deep. The pool's made out of cement. He could hit his head. All these things this kid's worried about, he wasn't sure his dad was going to catch him or make sure it was okay and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, He finally gets him. He says, son, just look at me. Just look at me. Stop watching the other kids. Stop watching everything that's going on in the pool. Just look at me, and it'll be fine. So he finally talked his son into jumping. And when he focused on just his dad, y'all know where I'm going with this, right? When he focused on just his dad, he dove in, and like the boy loves to swim now. I mean, he just loves it. But it was okay. His dad was there. He never dropped him. He never drowned and all that kind of drowned. Do anybody say drowned anymore? Anyway, so the kid was cool, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Your dad's got you. And so I got the privilege to be a part, and I do say privilege, of a celebration of life this past week of a friend of mine. He was 101 years old. And the guy was just lived life. Now, yeah, he messed things up. He wasn't perfect, but he corrected and did life right. And so when I was asked, like the day before, to go and speak at his funeral, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, what can I say? Because I've lived long enough to see him have trials and tribulations throughout his life. And you would never really know it. He was one of those kind of guys that didn't vent his frustration. Or no, some good and fun people. You know, he just kind of did life, and you'd ask him how he was doing fine and those kind of things. But to hear his family, they had a time to get up and kind of talk through his, he dealt with things through Scripture. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, he trusted God. And they did some one-liners at his funeral and things he would say, and he would say things like, you know, or people would ask, what are you going to do about that? He said, well, God knows, I just figure I'll follow him. Isn't that awesome? I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but God knows, so I'll just follow him. I'm like, sitting there, I'm like, I want to be like that. I really do. Now, I'm not saying things, God puts things in your life sometimes, I think, to shake us. I believe God will do that. Because let's admit it, we need to be shaken, right? There's times we need to wake up and hear God. And I'm thankful for those things. But at the same time, even if those moments come, I'm like, you know, God's already been there. He's already got this figured out. He already knows what's going to happen. By the way, this is for his purpose, his plan, and his glory. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could just say amen right now and every one of us say we're going to go live this week just like that? We're not going to let circumstances freak us out. We're not going to, you know, as much as things may come in and come around, And listen, guys, I'm not making light of any. There's some horrific things that happen in life, and I'm not trying to make light of those at all. I'm just saying that our God is bigger than the horrific situations. He's just bigger. He's more powerful than all of that. So anyway, this guy in this article, he said, just like his son in crisis, I've got to read this, set it up here a minute. When the Judean king Ahaz heard that, Syria and Israel created an alliance to withstand the advancing Assyrian threat, his heart shook with fear. You can go read that about that in Isaiah 7:2. Seeking to strengthen their hand against Assyria, I'm going to try my best not to butcher this. I think it's Syro-Ephraimite coalition. Dude, I practiced saying that. I really did before I come. And hope that's right. But the Ephraimite coalition intended to use military force to remove and persuade Judah to join them as well. Ahaz responded to the imminent threat like a good king. He inspected the city's water supply, and like, you know, how long can we withstand a siege? Ahaz had been conditioned to believe that military threats require military responses. Yet God responds to Ahaz by sending the prophet Isaiah, who relayed four commands from the Lord. Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart faint, or do not grow faint. So I want to walk through those today. Be mindful. So let's talk about being mindful for a minute. We need to be mindful of who God is. We need to be mindful of who God is. I'm going to say that one more time. We need to be mindful of who God is. So in the moment of fear, in the moment of horrific circumstances, in the moment of you know, I don't think it can get any worse. At the moment we would say, life is over for me. This is just terrible. This is horrific. In that moment, we need to remember and be mindful of who God is. Because no matter what happens in this life. By the way, we all need to be reminded this morning, myself included, that we are temporary, right? This is temporary, God, when he calls your name. So this is temporary. Be mindful of who God is. And nothing can happen in your life that's going to change the power and authority and might of Almighty God. Nothing will ever happen that will scare him. Nothing will ever happen that will make him freak out. Nothing will ever happen that he's going to say, I don't know if I can help with that. Nothing will ever happen that God can't take care of. He is still God, no matter what happens. You know, sadly, seeing the church shooting here the other week, you know, I heard, because I go to a local store like every morning, we talk about these things, and it's like, you know, Beauty Salon Central in our neighborhood. You know, it's where farmers go to gossip. So anyway, we go and we're talking about it, and one of the guys made the statement, said, you know, it's getting really bad when someone can walk into a church and do that. And I said, well, what's the difference in walking into a church? This is bad either way. And then, of course, it leans too, you know, goes into this on you. How can God let that happen? God's supposed to be in the church. Well, God's everywhere. God's everywhere. Why did he let that happen? Well, if I could answer that question, then I could tell you all about what needs to happen in your life, and I could go on to heaven. I don't know why these things happen. I do know this. Could God have prevented it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a question that I get asked all the time that I'm still answering like this. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue other than to say he's got purpose in it, that God has purpose in it. And as much as it is horrifying and just blows our mind, God has purpose. God's on a whole different thinking level than we are. God sees the bigger picture. We don't. But God has a perfect plan in everything that goes on and happens. He has a plan. He has a purpose. Now, I think about, and, you know, we said this, we said, well, you know, look how it drew a community. Look how it brought them together. Was that the purpose? I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a good thing. I think God is certainly doing something in all of that. But be mindful of who God is. So let's look this morning. Deuteronomy 6:12. He said, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God's moving them from something horrific to something good. He said, but don't forget. Be mindful of who I am. I wonder how many times that we get to doing life and we forget about where God's brought us from. How many of us ask this? Let me ask this question. You remember the moment, if you are a follower of Christ, and if you're not, we'd love to talk to you after church. That'd be awesome. But if you are a follower of Christ, do you remember the moment that you knew, that you realized and you understood that God had called you unto himself through Christ Jesus? You remember that moment? And it might be many moments. You know, some people say, yeah, I remember I was like in a church and God sent 100 angels down and put a halo. I don't know what your moment was like. My moment wasn't quite like that. It was a great moment of realizing that I was, and to use this churchy phrase, it was a moment of realizing the wretched sinner that I was and the grace that God gave me, very breaking down who I was and all that. But God's brought me so far. And it would be kind of like this, and this would be just dumb. It would be kind of like God called me into ministry, to do ministry. He called me in to preach, right? So I come and I preach, and I'm very dependent upon God. In fact, I don't even like to get on the stage without praying and surrendering and laying my whole heart, my core out before God and say, God, you speak through me because I'll mess this up. It would be like going from there and then me forgetting that. And see, this is what's so dangerous, by the way, and I don't know why I'm going here, but take notes on this. This is so dangerous with some preachers and some religious teachers that they get arrogant and they think that they are such great deliverers of God's word. That's scary. You don't do that without God. So he's saying, don't lose sight of where God's brought you from. Remember, be mindful of who God is. Keep God at the forefront. Keep Him at the forefront. Understand who He is. Don't forget the times of trouble, Moses, I think, would say, and who has the final say. I can't wait to January. January is going to be good. We're going to be doing a series. By the way, I got to just put a little plug in. This is The Cross Has the Final Word. God has the final word. I'm getting really excited about that. Isn't it awesome to think that no matter what goes on in life, God said, I'm going to solve that. I have the final say in that. He had the final say. You know, Pharaoh couldn't do nothing to keep the Israelites there in slavery. He couldn't do anything to keep them there. See, listen to the power of God. This is the God we serve. This is the God we can depend on during our frustrating, heartbreaking circumstances. Slavery is kind of horrific. Say so. Because I say so. And Pharaoh could not do anything. Don't you love it when you read in the Bible? Pharaoh was just God's person He had put there to fulfill the plan that He was going to fulfill. He has absolutely no control. Isn't it awesome to think about? No one has control above God. No dictator, no president, no emperor, nobody is above God. Pharaoh wasn't above God. God said, I'm going to get my people out of Egypt. What happened? Remember how sovereign, remember how holy, remember how powerful, remember that I am the I am. That I am God. Always have been. I am this very day. And I always will be. I can say to you this morning, this same God that brought the Israelites out of Egypt will always be God. So, if this is the God we trust, and if this is the God we believe in, and if this is the God we're following, then we got to know, though tough, though difficult, no matter the circumstances, as long as we stay mindful of this God, stay close to this God, our circumstances won't take control. Pushing the envelope just a little bit. Did you think of it in terms like this? Life's going to happen, but you've already been delivered from your circumstances, in a sense. You've already been delivered from your circumstances. Now, that's weird. I know that's a little on the strange side, because, well, Danny, I'm still going through them. Yeah, but God's still God. God's still God. Your circumstances are just that. They're circumstances. They're not going to exist forever. They're not going to last forever. God is God. You have been delivered from them through Jesus Christ. You know, look at it this way. Jesus is the resurrected Savior, yet He went through life circumstances. I believe He knew. The reason He stayed close to God, He did not forget His Father. In fact, a lot of times, go read your Bible, a lot of times it says Jesus left Him and went off to pray. He spent time with His Father. Jesus knew from the first time, and Christmas is up here just a little bit, and this is just me talking, okay? You're not going to find this in the Bible. I just want to make this kind of relatable for you. But the instant that Jesus got out of the manger and began to walk, He was walking in the purpose and for the glory of God. He came to journey from His birth to the cross for the glory of God. He knew. He went through a lot of circumstances, right? Let's think about some of Jesus' circumstances. He was spit on. He was probably cursed at, I'm sure. You know, he was spoken rudely to. He was run out of town. He was rocked or thrown at Him. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. There's some tough circumstances, amen? But God never quit being God. His Father never quit being His Father. Jesus knew this God. But Jesus was God. But Jesus knew this God, purpose that God had set Him here for. God created you with a purpose. Just like Jesus, you're going to have circumstances. Thank God, probably not that severe. But you're going to have circumstances. Be mindful of who God is. God, give God glory in that. At the moment of crisis, God acknowledged Ahaz's battle was not just outside the city walls, but also in his mind. How many of y'all have battles in your mind? Wow, that's a lot of people. So y'all let things go on in your mind a lot of times, would you feel safe? Don't raise your hand on this one. We're fixing to get personal. That kind of just defeat you at times. You know, you see something, or you hear about something, or you know something's happening in your life, and before it ever takes place, man, I am so guilty of this. Ooh, I'm so guilty of this. Before it even takes place, you're already playing out in your mind what's going to happen. And it's always the worst case scenario, right? Always the worst case scenario. And before you know it, we're rummaging around in our noggins. We're rummaging around trying to find something to anchor to, and we're fretting, and we're screaming, and we're hollering, and we don't know what's going to go on. And God's over there at the very same time saying, I'm still God. I'm still God. But God, this is going to mess my life up. No, it's actually going to benefit you and improve your life. It don't look like it. I know it doesn't look like it. Let me go back to Jesus. Being beaten, tied to a pole, that don't look beneficial. That doesn't look beneficial. Man, can't believe God let it go that far. Aren't you glad that Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father? Who's thankful for that? I can't help but think, in our little finite world, that God allows things that is going to glorify him, and they will benefit us because his hands are in it. Man, it is tough. It is tough. I heard a couple things the other day that wanted to say to us, as a guy kept repeating, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. And I meditated on that just a little bit. If you got something that you would have to tell Jesus to wait a minute on, let me tell you, brother and sister, you need to open your eyes to Jesus. That's what being mindful and focused on our Father is about. So, be mindful. Remember what God has done. And remember what he's promised us as one of his children. So, second is be quiet. It's an important theme in Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah 30:15, God says, This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it, of agitation. That's pretty good. Cool. Doesn't mean the absence of noise when he says be quiet. That doesn't mean the absence of noise. It means the absence of agitation. Frustrating or frustration. Here again, maybe I'll just close right here and hush, because it's going to go back to the same thing I just said. It's going to go back to trusting God. It's going to go back to his hands is all in this. Man, we could sit here and I could take 2 hours and ask y'all to come up and give a testimony of your worst circumstance, either past, present, or future. I could ask y'all to give testimony, and I would still tell you, because of this word, that God's in that. Well, I wished he'd hurry up and fix it. Don't we all? You know what I've come to the conclusion of? Because for some reason, Cindy and I keep stumbling into circumstances. Go figure. You know, I was thinking one day that God would, you know, I would preach good enough, and I'd be a good enough Christian, and, you know, that happened then. So I quit figuring on it happening now. So what's left? If God ain't going to fix it perfectly now, what's left? To trust him. To trust him in these circumstances. To trust him that he knows what he's doing. You got to make some hard decisions sometimes. I mean, hard decisions. You trust him if he leads you to do something. Just talking with you guys, talking with people, sometimes it seems unchristian to say no. Sometimes no is the most Christian thing you can say. See, people don't understand the true definition of love. Tried to explain this to my kids as they was coming up. You know, I did some things when I paddled her behind Dad. I would do that, and it wasn't because I hated them. It was because you had done something you wasn't supposed to do. Most of the time you were told not to do, and I was showing up in your circumstances. I believe God sometimes tells us no. No. It's the most loving thing He can tell us. What did I say last week? Something to the effect is like, if you could understand, I know I'm going to mess this up, but if you could see into the future of what God will do in your circumstance and you trust Him, you wouldn't want what you're wanting that you're fighting God about. That didn't make no sense, did it? Gosh, I can't think of it. My head's old. Anyway, you would want what God would want for you. You just don't know that yet. You just don't know that yet. So why not trust Him? I already know the answer, but I want to see. Take your best shot. What were you thinking? Now, I don't know if that'll be what it's like. He said, did you not hear me say no? Yeah, God, but I thought I could figure it out. You thought you could figure it out. You can't figure this out. You got to trust God. So, be quiet. It says, in fact, peace and joyful shouting are themes that merge in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah 55:12 right quick. He says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. At the moment of crisis, remember this, just as with Ahaz, he needed to find a calm and a certain confidence. A certain, not mean choosing a certain thing, but a certain, a definite confidence in who God is. So guys, be confident in who God is and what God can do, not confident in what you can do and what you can fix. So have a confidence in God. Number three, do not... God says it a lot, you know. He says it a lot. And by the way, this is not necessarily something God says just to calm you down, like having a crying baby and giving them a bottle. That's not this kind of when He says, do not fear. He literally means, this isn't to pacify you. He literally means, don't be scared. Don't let this moment get the best of you. Don't fear. Do not fear. Believe me, I've meditated on that one a lot. And it simply means, what's the deeper meaning of do not fear? Do not fear. Don't be afraid. If you don't hear me say anything else today, keep this in your mind. Say it, speak it, live it. Look at your circumstances and say, God's still God. God's still on His throne. God will always be on His throne. God is going to prevail. God's always prevailed. God will bring it to fulfillment. God, a bumper sticker, it needs to be something you place on your car dash. God is still God, no matter what you're going through. It's easy to stand up here and say, I know it's a lot harder to live. I know that. It's a lot harder to live. I have to live life too. There's circumstances that just kind of riddle me and tear me apart sometimes. And I have to get to the place like, well, I have shouted and screamed and I have been torn up and I've been mad and I've snapped at my wife and she snapped back at me and now I'm snapping at my kids and snapping at other people and being short. And none of that is changing the circumstances. The only thing that changes and makes it right is when I understand that God is still God. He is still on His throne and I can trust Him and go with that. Just follow that. Have you ever, be like, how many of y'all are worriers? Raise them proudly. You ever worried your problem away? No. And you never will. You won't ever worry a problem away. Have you ever been able to cuss a problem out of existence? You said cuss in church. Yeah, I said cuss in church because you do it. I've done it. No. You want them to do? That means gossip. No. No. I know that was probably out there or whatever, but all I'm saying is this. You got two choices with your circumstances. Let them consume you or be consumed by God who will consume your circumstances and make them right according to his plan. Two choices. That's what you got. You can do one or the other. Do not fear. This phrase recalls God's providence, promise, and purpose. God uses these words when he appears to Abram, Moses, Joshua, and Elijah. It may seem trite that he tells Ahaz him for him and made a promise to him. Ahaz then needed to respond on the basis of that conviction. He says, we need to recalibrate our perspective around God when faced with uncertain circumstances. I know, guys, we've heard this. In the initial moment of hearing something that's painful, that's tough. But as quickly as you can, start remembering God. Go to his word. Start remembering his promises. Start reading about and meditating on how powerful God is. And I'm telling you, when you focus on God, I'm still trying to practice this to this day. I have failed from time to time just because I am human and I don't always get it right. But I took a week, and all I'd done for a solid week was exalted my Heavenly Father. That's all I'd done. I didn't pray anything for me. Now, please, let me back up because this is starting to sound very bad. I am not boasting on me, okay? You're looking at a sinful failure that God decided to save. Let me just say that from the get-go. I'm not saying this in a boastful way. I'm telling you what God done. The week that I took, and I still do this, and it still yields the same results. When I intentionally, on purpose, exalted God, my Heavenly Father, day in and day out, praying nothing for myself, God fix my deafness. God, fix this. God, take care of that. Because something I read in the Bible, Jesus said one time, he said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, God will take care of everything else. That's my version. It's not NIV. That's my version of the Bible, okay? That God will take care of everything else. So I got to thinking, God, if I'm completely focused on you, and God, if I'm exalting you and I'm paying attention to you, and God, I'm reading your word and allowing you to feed me, and I'm digesting it and I'm feeding off of it and I'm growing in it. God, if that's what it is, then that's how it should be. You already are taking care of me. Why do I need to spend 10 or 15 hours? God, and don't walk out of here and say, well, we're not supposed to pray for you. No, I love to pray. God, exalt him first and foremost. And your circumstances will look minimal. I'm telling you, it does something within your spirit. This isn't one of those things that I'm telling you to, try this and see if this works. This is how God intended it to be. He saved us. If you're sitting here and you know Jesus, he saved us. The first duty, the first command, the first thing a child of God should focus on and do is exalt the Father, the King, our Majesty, the one who has redeemed us and restored us. See, you got to understand this about Satan, and I don't know how we... And if he can distract you, he can mess you up. Read your Bible. Look at people that he distracted. You might say, well, Danny, I don't have to read the Bible that much. No, you can get distracted. I'm distracted. He uses that. It's why we get scared. We're distracted. Oh, my gosh. We're like not going to be able to fix the car. That's hard. I know. How are we going to get to work? We can't get. Let me tell you how this goes. Y'all have been there. Some of you might be there. I've been there. Car breaks down. How are we going to fix it? Don't know. If I can't have a car, I can't go to work. If I can't go to work, I can't buy groceries, I can't eat. If I can't eat, I'm going to starve to death. If I starve to death, that's just going to look really bad. See how that just kind of blows? And I mean, it blows up. When in reality, God, did God get you a job? Provide you a job? I'm confident that he will provide a way. Yeah, but I would rather ride to work in a Lexus. And God says, a Toyota, I do. Now, why not? This whole thing's about trusting God. So you don't fear. You don't fear. Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 and 4. Read this and we'll wind up. He shall say, hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted. This is the last one. Don't be faint-hearted. Or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. I haven't read that tons and tons in my life, but it's one of those scriptures that I'll share with people and I go to myself when things are really tough. It's the reason I could say a while ago, God's already been there. He's already been there. So if our view is like this, well, if God has already been here and now he's bringing me here, then there's purpose, right? If you just showed up, I could see where it would get like haphazardly kind of freaky. But if God goes ahead of me, then he's already planned it. Now he's bringing me to it for a purpose. And if it's for God's purpose, it will work out to his glory. And if you are obedient in his purpose and in his leading, it will turn out well for you. Let me tell you this. Heard this week. Said that guy's life was just riddled with trouble. Not the guy we did the funeral for, but another guy. He was talking about another guy. Said his life was just riddled with trouble. But you never, and I've talked about this very guy in here before, you never seen him have anything bad to say. I never seen the guy depressed. But this guy told me this one time. He said, ain't you thankful that it's more than this? Aren't you thankful? This was the guy that I was telling you about. This is my friend. He was a hog farmer, and he was crippled. And he had gotten to the place all he could do is just sit in a pickup truck all day long. And if he drove one, he would liable run into something. I mean, it was bad. He was crippled. And every time I talked, this is the guy that I would go to cheer up. You know, I would go to cheer him up. And we would sit there window to window in our pickup trucks, and I'd start talking. Next thing you ever heard, now maybe he did after I left, I don't know. Never, ever heard him say, I got it bad. He was always saying, you know, God's got more for us than this. I'm headed towards something better. I'm headed towards something more. And all I ever heard him do is give God glory in his circumstances. There was times I would tell people, I said, if anybody, and believe me, this is wrong, don't go do this. This is just my evil mind at that point in time in my life would work or how it worked. But at one time I would tell people, there can't be a loving God that would do that. You know? I mean, I can see you do something wrong, you get punished. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? And I can't figure out why God does it differently, but I'll tell you what, this guy, his in my life. I honestly believe that this guy was very mindful, that this guy understood what it was like to be quiet before God and understand and listen and know that God was working. I know this guy, to me, he was like fearless. We got to talking about death one time. And he said, why is it that people get to talking about Jesus? People would say, man, that scares me. Why would Jesus scare you? He's life. He said, well, every time I think about Jesus, I think about death. Oh, dying, you know. And this guy said, I'm not afraid to die. And I'm thankful to God that because of gentlemen like this, but mostly because what is in here, it is an awesome thing to begin to get to the place of not being afraid, but actually looking forward to that day. Have you already, guys, started rejoicing in that day? Man, I can sit down and maybe it's just for old people. I don't know, but I think it's for all of us. But you look in here and like, God, if this is what you're like, and God, this is how absolutely beyond human words marvelous you are, and God, this is how deeply you have loved me, and God, this is how one last one. He says, don't faint. We just read that. Don't faint. Where Moses prepares the Israelites for facing their enemies in battle, the priest was to come to front the line of soldiers and say, let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you. At a moment of crisis, with a mind that remembers, a soul free from agitation and frustration, I can respond in courageous faith. I think God is doing some amazing things in people right here in this body. And some of you, has even been said to me before, ever since I've started following God, it seems like my life is just, you know, being slammed. Paul was either crazy or he knew what he was talking about. Paul said, man, give God praise during those times. I'd like, Paul, really? Are you serious? He said, yeah, yeah. Give God praise during those times. All I wanted to accomplish in this message today, and I probably could have done this 20 minutes ago, but I like standing up here talking to you, is for us to face life and its circumstances the way I believe God intends for his children to face life and circumstances. Yes, we got something going on. Is there cause for concern? Absolutely. What do we do with it? God, this is yours. I'll keep my eyes on you. As you mixing the cake batter of circumstances, you'll mix me in and through it, and you're going to make it right and purposeful, and you're going to make it bring glory to you. And God, in the end, it will be better for me because you were in it all along, in the head of it and in charge of it. You're in it. If you walk out of these doors today, remember this. It's definitely going to work in your circumstances. Another saying I've heard before, take your hands off of it and let God fix that. Let God deal with that. Pay attention to what he's doing in it. And last but not least, you go and read your Bible, and it'll come true every time you read about something. But God always brings circumstances, again, for his glory, and it always works out. It's what you want. You want God's will to be done. You really do as a child. I'm telling you, if you put your want and God's want side by side, and you were able to choose today, and you'd look at the just what God has prepared and done for you, I'll guarantee you, say, I thought I wanted that, but I'll take this. I'll guarantee you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you want what God wants. You just don't know it yet. But you keep following him, and you'll know how I love to read about heaven. No more pain. The funeral this past week, 101 years old. I'm like, this dude, 101, cutting back flips. You know, and that's just my mental picture. God's completed him. His work on earth was done. He ran a good race, and God is taking him home, and he's like, here you go. This is forever. This is forever. So what I want to do, because circumstances are tough, we'll agree with that. I don't want to call anybody out or anything, but I just feel led to do this again because I'm getting some stories. Who believe that God loves his children? Who believe God answers prayers? Who believes that God's going to get you through it? All right, so here, Wes, you might have to get up. You can't sit there forever. I'm just kidding, man. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. We might need some chairs. Anybody, I don't need to know your story. Maybe I hadn't talked with you yet. We'll pull the whole chair, all the chairs up here. Anybody who is just in some circumstances right now and you're being rolled around, would y'all come up here? We just want to lay hands on you and pray for you. Anyone who's just wrestling with something and don't grasp it, we just and pray for strength. And you know, it's no shame because I'm going to be up here too. Y'all please pray for me. There's things going on in my life that I need prayer over. So anyone. And that's another thing, guys, with our body that I'm so appreciative of that God's done. You can come and be a part of this morning. We just want to love on you, you know? All right, Trey, Jeremy, Jason, you guys come up. Josh, would y'all come up? And if everybody else would just fall in them or behind them and just gather these people. First of all, I want you to know this, and I want a big amen or a yes. Do we love these guys or what? Amen. Yeah, yeah. So, let's pray for them. Now, like I say, guys, if y'all want to share y'all circumstances with people, that's cool. I'm not going to take time to share all that, but I know that there's some struggles sitting on this row right here. And God's bigger than all of that. So, let's just pray for these guys, for God's strength and just encourage them. So, Trey, if you will, you start it, Jeremy, or whoever. We'll pray till we pray it out. How about that? Let's just pray. We thank you so much for all, not only in our words, but in our actions. And may you be illuminated. Thank y'all so much. We're gonna do one more song. Guys, love y'all. I don't know what else to say. Love you guys. Lean on the church. Lean on your brothers and sisters. And we can go.